Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Shirley Caniff, General Manager of WSCIROC, Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. This is a pre-broadcast show called In the Fellowship of His Suffering. We are taking three parts over a period of a month, and we are putting it into one show. So the time sequence may be off, but enjoy the rest of the show because you will be blessed. Okay, love you. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Seek the Lord, and you will find him. This is Seek, Christian Internet Radio Outreach, WSCIRO, Boston, Massachusetts.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
Hear, O Lord, the sound of our call. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy. Our souls are longing for the glory of
everyone. So glad you can make it. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff and my husband here, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff, General Managers of WSCIROC, Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston, and co-producers of Faith Talks Live Prayer here on Blog Talk Radio. We are here on Divine Mercy Sunday, and for those who are not Catholic, we honor mercy the day, a week after Easter, through a saint that God had poured out his visions and revelations regarding his mercy, in Saint Faustina from Poland. And today is very special, along with being Divine Mercy Sunday, because where our the church has canonized two popes that God used in a very special way to promote the Vatican II and the teachings of Vatican II, which allowed, which gave us the, I want to say, the protocol to evangelize in the new evangelization of the church. And these two popes are Pope John the 23rd and Pope John Paul II. And in a couple of minutes, we are going to pray for their intercession, because they're in, it's not necromancy, but they're in a place of great sanctity, because we very strongly believe in a cloud of witnesses, just like many other people in the body of Christ do that are not necessarily Catholic, but share the same belief. It's part of our creed, the communion of saints. And just, what is the communion of saints, Jeff?
The communion of saints is the fact that Jesus lives in each of us. And if Jesus lives in each of us, that means those in heaven have the fullness of that Jesus living in them. while we still struggle to purify and make holy our temple where Jesus lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Jesus opening the intercession of heaven
mm-hmm.
to the earth. And in some instances, it's Jesus who sends the inspirations of the Holy Spirit concerning different saints.
Right. So what is that commonality that the saints, the church triumphant, the saints on earth, as opposed to the saints in the church, I should say the church militant, saints on earth, as opposed to the church triumphant, the saints in heaven? What is that commonality, common denominator that they inherited because of our baptism into Jesus through the Holy Spirit?
Well,
is it eternal life?
Because of baptism and baptism in the Holy Spirit, they receive the power to fight against sin and live a lifelong struggle where they just kept living in Jesus, doing what Jesus called them to do. Like, we know from the brief stories of John Paul II's life that are out on video that he lived a holy life from the moment he was a young man before he became a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a process of a lifelong process for him of living holy.
Mm-hmm.
And in each step of the way, he became a priest, was still evangelizing, and in the midst of very great peril in Poland of his youth, where there was Nazism and communism and all kinds of odds against God. And he stood with God. And then, eventually, in time, he got elevated to a high position by God. And that's why he became a pope.
Right, but about the eternal life versus... what is that the promise? Is that the promise of every believer, that we receive eternal life?
When we receive Jesus, the beginning of eternal life starts.
Exactly. And so when we... So he took the victory... I mean, he received... Jesus... took the sting of death out of humanity and the reality of the finality of death, and he gave us eternal life by the shedding of his blood and the resurrection of his of his body from the dead, the first fruit.
Yeah.
So what happens is that when we receive Jesus, we receive the fullness of what he did. We receive eternal life and the promises of eternal life. So when we sleep, so with death, if somebody observes a Christian or a Christian believer when they translate out of this life into the next, they actually fall asleep and close their eyes, which looks like it's a kind of death, but it's not
eternal,
death.
It's not eternal death.
Exactly.
The second death,
it's
as
like
the Revelation talks about.
Yeah. It's like falling asleep. Like when we dream, we fall asleep and we have a dream. Or we fall asleep in this life and we wake up and in the next life.
See, the first death is when the body dies.
Yeah.
The second death is when the soul is judged.
Amen.
And either merits heaven or hell, whatever the final destination is. But I'm not a judge of that destination, even of myself. I don't want to go. I want to be with God all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live holy. I want to be ongoing transformation to get closer to God and hear better every day. I mean, it's not just a one-shot deal. Like, your beginning in salvation can be your starting point, but you have to progress towards the final end, which is your final union with Jesus in the glory of the Father in the heavenly realm. Now, we can visit that realm. God can shed graces on us about what that realm contains, but we have to remember, whenever we face obstacles, we have to return to the cross. The cross is the power that breaks the darkness. And the light of Christ has come into our hearts so that we can be vessels, to be sources of breaking that darkness off of people, as God the Holy Spirit prompts us to.
Amen. So we are, again, I are going to reread and recite and pray into the prayers, the official prayers of asking for the intercession of Pope John 23rd, and also John Paul II the Great, who are now saints, saints of the Catholic Church. There are saints that we have become saints because of baptism, but on a grander scale, on a larger scale, they are the official saints.
Yeah, well, we all need role models of what sanctity is, and our church has gotten it really, really good, down really good for that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, John Paul, too, has demonstrated a lifestyle of holiness and love of Jesus.
Yes.
John the 23rd, the same.
Mm-hmm.
And in the context of that part of their life, they became leaders, and then they finally became the head, the visual head of the church. And it's just, if we're in Jesus and we're praying through Jesus, and he leads us to ask also for other saints that are either on the earth or in the heavens, it's in him, through him, and with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit that we do
these exploits.
Everything. The exploits of God.
Yeah, amen.
And you don't know all the exploits that God has had me do in the hiddenness of my prayer life.
Mm-hmm.
For the benefit of souls. One short definition is like being told to pray and go do something, and you go do it, and then you start praying, and you have a vision of a conflict, and by your intercession, you just say something simple. Don't let it happen. I kept saying that for like an hour, and then all of a sudden I started to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And peace came back to me, which was my sign that the warfare prayer was answered, even though it wasn't taking place in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so are we going to read this?
Yes. Yeah. Prayer of Intercession with St. John Paul II. O St. John Paul, from the window of heaven, grant us your blessing. Bless the church that you loved and served and guided, courageously leading it along the paths of the world in order to bring Jesus to everyone and everyone to Jesus. Bless the young who were your greatest passion. Help them dream again. Help them look up high again to find the light that illuminates the paths of life here on earth. May you bless families. Bless each family. You warned of Satan's assault against this precious and indispensable spark, divine spark that God lit on earth. St. John Paul, with your prayer, may you protect the family and every life that blossoms from the family. Pray for the whole world, which is still marked by tensions, war, and injustice. You tackled war by invoking dialogue and planting seeds of love. Pray for us so that we may be tireless sowers of peace. O St. John Paul, from heaven's window, where we see you next to Mary, send God's blessing down upon us all. Amen.
Amen. And then I'm going to read that other, prayer. Asking for the intercession of St. John the 23rd. Dear Pope John, your simplicity and meekness carry the scent of God and sparked in people's hearts desire for goodness. You spoke often of the beauty of the family gathered around the table to share bread and faith. Pray for us that once again true families would live in our homes. With outstretched hands you sowed in hope, and you taught us to listen for God's footsteps as he prepares a new humanity. Help us have a healthy optimism of defeating evil with good. You loved the world with its light and darkness, and you believed that peace is possible. Help us be instruments of peace like St. Francis at home and in our communities. With paternal gentleness, you gave all children a caress. You moved the world and reminded us that hands have been given to us not for striking, but for embracing and drying tears. Pray for us so that we do not limit ourselves to curse in the darkness, but that we bring the light, bringing Jesus everywhere, and always praying in union with all the saints in heaven and Mother Mary, especially in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And in unity of the Holy Spirit. One glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. And we should not only say one glory, which is all glory and honor is.
Glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen. So we're going to, before we go on to the next segment, we're going to have Jeff read Psalm 23. It's very fitting for today being the Feast of Divine Mercy. And he's looking for that right now in the scriptures. And so the rest of the show, we're going to go into an interview that we had with Costa Basarov from the Ukraine. He's a colleague, student of mine over to the Oriental School of Medicine that I am attending right now because the Lord is having me attend. And he's going to talk about the Ukraine crisis and what's really going on a human level and what he wants and how he wants us to pray for his country, okay, of origin. Him and his family are safely over here, but his heart is with his people, and he's also Jewish. And God, with God, there is no Jew, there is no Christian, there is this human beings made in his image, and Jesus has embraced all of humanity, and he wants us to bring everybody to that place. All right, Jeff.
Psalm 23.
Yep.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet water. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they give me comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And ever. Amen. So, we're going to go into the interview, but before then, me, yours truly, Dr. Shirley, will be, we're going to go over some dreams that the Lord has given me, regarding the disabled, those who have intellectual and cognitive challenges and physical challenges as well, and also something that the Lord had shared with me about the reign of Christ and how he spoke to me in a dream. And I believe I'm going to be releasing, I think God wants me to pray after that about open up people's spiritual ears so that they can hear what the Holy Spirit is saying too, because it is God's will that he in this day and age speaks to his people through dreams and visions. And so when we begin that segment in the next few minutes after this song, we'll start that part of the broadcast with Joel 2, okay? All right. Enjoy the song and the rest of the show. God bless you. Bye-bye.
What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and you kicking me out. You've got my head spinning. No kidding, I can't pin you down. What's going on in that beautiful mind? I'm on your magical mystery ride, and I'm so dizzy, don't know what hit me, but I'll be alright. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me, I give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning, even when I lose, I'm winning. Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? Even when you're crying, you're beautiful too. The world is beating you down, I'm around. every mode. You're my downfall, you're my muse, my worst distraction, my rhythm and blues. I can't stop singing, it's ringing in my head for you. My head's underwater, but I'm breathing fine. You're crazy and I'm out of my mind. 'Cause all of me loves all of you. Love your curves and all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. Give your even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Your perfect imperfections. Give your all to me. Give my all to you. You're my end and my beginning. Even when I lose, I'm winning. 'Cause I give you all of me. And you give me all. I give you all of me, and you give me all of you. Oh.
Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that all of you loves all of us. And we just thank you, Lord, that in our own imperfections of humanity, you shine through the darkness of it. And we just, Lord, we just want to just love you for who you are and what you want for humanity. Lord, it goes beyond our limited vision and focus of where you call the church and where you call each and every one of us individually as, a subunit of your collective body, which makes up all fabrics of society. And we just thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing in this day and age and in this time. Well, it's been a long time, folks. This is Dr. Shirley Caniff and my husband, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff here, general managers of WSCIRO, Sea Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston. And you know that song, All of Me by John Legend, it just speaks it's so very prophetic. It encapsulates in a greater way for this day and age the intimate union connection that Jesus has, you know, for each and every one of us individually and as a church. And for those of you who are not in a church, you know, it's like just understanding who lives in you, especially the baptized. I'm not holding the unbaptized accountable, although at some point everyone is going to be held accountable to why they didn't receive Jesus. But the Lord knows, God knows, where each and everyone lives, and he knows the hair on each and the number of hair on each and everyone's heads, including the wigs, including those who, because he gave you the idea and concept to have those, you know, for various reasons.
Why did I say that? I don't know. It's just, that's the way I'm made, right? Anyways, this is going to be in a very unusual broadcast here on Faith Talk Live Prayer. The theme is in fellowship of his suffering, his divine suffering. And there's been a lot of people suffering recently, you know, through the tornadoes and then through the Ukraine crisis. And even if there are some people, leaders who lost loved ones that were very monumental, and I'm talking leaders in the body of Christ, you know, spiritual fathers that have gone on to be with the Lord.
Bob Jones,
Steve Hill. Very unusual thing about Steve Hill is that he died before and came back recently, probably within a couple of years since the Lord woke him up in a resurrection, to bring home a point about, you know, people are going over the cliff, you know, the calamities, and he used the Colorado ski patrol as a prophetic parable and parallel as to what's really going on spiritually. And, you know, we are living in a time of Joel 2. And I wanted to say, you know, there's a series of scriptures that we are going to delve into because of the nature of the show. And before we go into them, I gave you the theme of what we're going to talk about and what you are to pray on, right? It's all about faith. It's all about our intimate walk with the Lord in faith. Again, with the Ukraine crisis, the Lord gave us a window of time at the school that I attend. It was after school was in recess. We're right now coming off of a break. And I do attend an alternative medicine school because of what God's called me to regarding the special population of people, of adults that have transitioned from adolescent to adulthood, and you know the benefits that they can receive through alternative medicine in their transition from adult or children, adolescents to adult services, because there are things that unfortunately can be available, and now laws are changing with the health care. For the good, believe it or not, there is a good part to the health care law that would actually benefit those with disabilities and challenges. And I think that when we get our minds off ourselves and what it might take away from those who are considered not to have a disability or intellectual challenge, and they see the bigger picture, they will understand why things are going the way that they're going. It's going to mean greater research, greater studies, in understanding why we have autism, and also breakthroughs in coming up with remedies and therapeutic remedies, especially to answer our solutions, I should say, provide solutions to a lot of the symptoms. And there's a whole group of them associated that are common to all people with pervasive developmental disabilities and delays, okay? And a lot of it has to do with the atmosphere. I had a dream vision last night about that very same thing, an angelic visitation. I don't usually, when I get one or two encounters and has to do something with the content of the show, I don't, the old me would have jumped on it and said, let's do a show. But the Holy Spirit put the weight in my spirit, like W-A-I-T, weight. And of course, with the revelation comes the weight of glory, W-E-I-G-H-T. And I know that the magnitude of this prophetic word in Revelation and God encounter is so huge that I know it would benefit the many. Having said all that, you know, he's been bringing me to that place of intimacy where, you know, the not now, but for such a time as this. And right now, it's for such a time as this. He had also given me a dream about, and God used a play on words regarding my mother's name, Lorraine Venitari, and it talks about the reign of God and what's about ready to happen, and it's already begun to happen in different parts of the world, and also a Jesus visitation regarding those who are, you know, have in with the eyes of the world, if you were to look at someone with a disability, you would think, oh, woe is me, woe is them, I wouldn't want to be them. But God is going to be doing some unusual work that's already begun. And, you know, when he gave me that dream, I didn't even know. He just gave me this dream and this interpretation. I thought that was it. But about a week later, there was a feast day of divine mercy throughout the churches in the world, the Catholic churches. And that's always happens a week after Easter. And I had been led to go to this particular chapel, the Franciscan chapel, where someone that God had put in my path before in one of my assignments, someone named John, his real name is John, who has cerebral palsy and some other issues, and he's confined to a wheelchair. But the Lord has been ministering to him about the illumination of conscience, and every time when I would start thinking about that, because the Lord was ministering to me too about that and about how how his Holy Spirit is tweaking humanity collectively and raising up individuals to talk about what he's doing with the help of the angels and the saints of heaven, especially the Blessed Mother. The Blessed Mother has been coming. The Jesus has sent his Blessed Mother to Mother Mary, to John, who's in a wheelchair, to give a profound teaching on what the Father wants from heaven for his people and what he's about ready to do. And it matches up with what the Lord's shown me and other people, okay? Other gifted people in the body of Christ who carry a prophetic anointing from time to time. And it goes hand in hand with the fellowship, with the theme of this show, in fellowship of his suffering, okay? It says in Joel 2 that, let's see, let me flip right over to Joel. Joel 2. Oh, I wish I knew in my head knew the order of these, but I know it's in the Old Testament. So let me just, is it before the Psalms or after the Psalms? It's like, I was talking to my mother-in-law about the movie Noah, and we will talk about more about that too. We're going to do a review on the movie Noah and Heaven is Real. But as I was sitting, gathering around the table after prayer and, you know, giving a synopsis of, you know, what I got out of Noah, I kept saying Moses, you know, and I didn't really mean Moses. I meant Noah. And then I noticed that when other people were, you know, given their account too, they would, you know, stumble across that kind of, I want to say, word confusion. But it's because I was asking Jeff, my husband, why do you think people do that? And we both came to the conclusion that it seems that, like, the stories are so closely, you know, connected in the book of Genesis at the beginning of the Bible, you know, the Old Testament. And, you know, you got the story of Noah first. But the story of Moses comes in Exodus, I think it is. Yeah.
When the whole story changes to after Jacob moved to Egypt.
Yeah, so, you know, if you're not familiar with Scripture, you're going to say that. But if you are familiar with Scripture, you know, the mind likes to play tricks with itself. And it seems like it's a universal thing. But anyways, you know, again, it says, like it says in the all of you, all of me loves all of you. You know, even with our curves and all our edges and our perfect imperfections, even in that, the Lord loves us. So, you know, if we talk about Noah when we meet Moses, we mean Noah or Moa. Moses when we mean? No one know what it means, Moses. God knows what it means. But it's always good, you know, when somebody points it out that, you know, you might have made a mistake. And you know what? That's, you know, that's when you swallow your pride and, you know, and laugh and, you know, accept the gift of humility, you know, because that's, he's there in all that. He's there in all that. Okay. It kind of went on a tangent, but it was a fun tangent. And so I'm looking for Joel. Joe, honey, help me out. Where the heck is Joel? Where is Joel? Let's see. The book of Joel. J-O-E-L. It's a very short book, too.
I know.
It's a very short. I think it might be. I think it's after Ezekiel. It's probably before Hosea. Let's see. Ezekiel. I'm in Ezekiel. I think it's right after Ezekiel. Okay. Ezekiel. There's Daniel. No, Daniel's after Ezekiel.
Nehemiah.
There's Micah, Jonah, Obadiah, Amos. Oh, here we go. Joel. Joel's before Amos. So anybody that's listening to this show, all right, I'm going to give you a little tip. In the Old Testament, Joel is before Amos and after Hosea, all right? Between the minor prophets and, of course, Joel. I guess it's considered to be one of those. All right, so let's look at Joel on the day of the Lord, because we are in the day of the Lord. We are in the last days, and then we're going to go to Acts 1, and Jeff's going to read him from Matthew 24, correct, Jeff? Right? And then Ephesians 6, because, you know, we need to continually talk about the warfare. We're going to talk about the Ukraine crisis. We're going to talk about the spiritual warfare, because there's a lot of things in that interview with our fellow classmate, who happens to be Jewish, Costa Barsarov. He really gives an excellent synopsis of what's happening, even spiritually, okay? And, of course, there's a lot. God has his hand spiritually on the Ukraine because, you know, when he raises up little girls that draw from the divine imprint of God and do art, like, what's the Ikeana? I believe she was from the Ukraine, and of course they moved here, and you've seen her on the Oprah Winfrey Show and all over the place. She is, you know, was a child prodigy for God and prophetic and prophetic painting and art.
One question.
Yeah.
Even though this will be for greater detail later, how did she cross with the Heaven Israel story?
Right. They must have met up. There must be some kind of making of the movie sequence. But from what I understand from the movie, it opens up with Arcana drawing the face of Jesus. And the boy, Colton, is his name? Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. In Heaven Israel. And we're going to do more of the presentation on that in another show.
So Colton had a vision.
Of Jesus, of the same Jesus that she painted when the father pointed out.
So it was a shared vision at two different times and two different
places.
Woo!
And see, the Lord,
that
the Holy...
That deserves better exploration when we get to focus on it.
Yeah, and the mystery of the Holy Spirit is that there is no time. Every godly encounter always happens outside of time and space. And as the Holy Spirit, as Jesus through the Holy Spirit, enters into our time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he could be working in the same similar fashion as somebody 10 years prior to what he's going to do in somebody's life, you know, 10 years from there. And then next thing you know, they have similar visions and similar messages, but from a different perspective, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it all points to Jesus,
yeah, like,
and what he's doing.
Okay. We'll explore that later. I have to.
Okay. Well, let's just look at why God is doing what he's doing in our generation, in the generations that have come before us, and the generations that are going to come after us. But this is a significant prophetic generation because there's a lot of changes. You know, I know that people, when they listen to this, they're going to think, oh, New Age. No, the Lord is always about transformation of heart and evolution of conscience. As we become more like Him, we evolve to, you know, to the person of Christ. But because He lives in us, not because of something outside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is in us. Greater is He when we receive Jesus. Greater is He who is within us than He, which is the little god of this age, Satan and his demonic cohorts.
Mm-hmm.
Than He who is in the world, or those who profess to be the enemy's followers, or who have those tendencies if they are not directly involved with Him. So, do you know that if you are an atheist and you think you take no position,
you've taken a position.
You have taken a position, because it's there's really no gray area, although our human mind might want to make a gray area. Us not choosing the Lord will automatically puts us in the enemy's camp, either to be used by a pawn for him, if you don't directly make the choice to follow him, or there's a direct involvement, but of course by the different things that are evil in nature. Okay, so let's go to Joel. Okay. Yes. Joel 2, verses 28 through 30. All right. No, to 29. Because it's all about pouring out a spirit in these days, okay? And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, and blood and fire and billows of smoke. Okay? So, I might as well continue. The Lord's telling me to continue. The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Jesus! And don't follow it by swear. Jesus, Son of the living God, have mercy on me and my family. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls. So the Lord's saying that there are going to be survivors. Okay? But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, then Jesus says the end is not near. I mean, the end is near, but it's not the end of the world. All right? So Jeff is going to, now that we came to that point, Jeff is going to read Matthew 24. And it's the first book in the New Testament, Jeff. At the end, Matthew 24. I'm feeling really strange today. It's the Lord's day in a good way, and I think it's a good strangeness. And God's just giving me a sense of humor in all this. Matthew 24. You want me to start reading it, and then you can jump in, Jeff?
I just wanted to mark, maybe.
Okay. He wants to mark. Jeff goes through this marking of his pages.
I already have one mark.
I just go flipping, right? And he goes and he marks.
I flipped open to this.
Oh, you did?
Because
awesome.
I didn't know it was
did.
Marked.
Yeah.
I had not used this title
okay.
for a while.
Well, are you ready?
Now, where was it going to start?
Matthew 24.
I'm in Matthew 24, but I'm trying to remember.
The day and the hour is not known, Matthew 24:16. Yeah, no one knows about that day or an hour, not even the angels in heaven.
The unknown day and hour.
Yep.
The unknown day and hour. But of that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. For as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, what about that thing about rumors and there will be wars?
Okay, let's see.
Because we need to really, really hit home with the listening audience that we are living in those times. I mean, I think after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus,
okay,
humanity was always coming out of dark places, but always because of a few suffering servants who united their sufferings to the wounds, to the cross of Christ, in hopes of receiving his resurrection glory. They understood redemptive suffering, and we're going to talk more a little bit about that, because there are some people in that place right now.
What I previously read from Matthew 24 was verse 36 through 44.
Yeah.
I'm going back in the same chapter and reading from verse 3 to verse 14.
Okay.
The beginning of the calamities. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, "Tell us, when will this happen? And what sign will there be of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus said to them in reply, "See that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and reports of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for these things must happen, but it will not yet be the end. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes from place to place. All these are the beginning of the labor pain." Then they said, "Then they will hand you over to persecution, and they will kill you. You will be hated by all nations because of my name. And then many will be led into sin. They will betray and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And because of the increase of evildoing, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world as a witness to all nations, and the end will come."
You know, I didn't really look at this like the Lord's putting his fingerprint on, his thumbprint on this particular scripture for me. And he says, this is where, through social media, this is where my people are standing, or can stand, or are standing. We're in such a tumultuous time, but we're in a glorious time at the same time. It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he or she who stands firm to the end will be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. We are just in that time just before the end comes. It's so much easier to get online and preach the gospel and tweet it. It goes to all nations in like the drop of a thought. And also, you know, when you're on Facebook, mm-hmm. if you put your, you know, Facebook page on public setting, especially the official one as your mm-hmm. personal one, and you have good things to say, this can be a very powerful tool and a responsible tool on how you can preach the gospel effectively.
I wanted to share another part of Matthew.
Amen. Go ahead.
Touched me when I first read it this time around.
Yeah.
Matthew 24, starting at 29, the coming of the Son of Man. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of heaven will be shaken, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heaven. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a trumpet blast, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven, the heavens to the other.
Mm.
The sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens.
Mm.
That's the cross. That's not a cross. That's the crucifix.
I believe so.
I had to make that distinction because a lot of people honor the Lord's resurrection by wearing crosses.
Right.
But we have to remember that it's a dual reality of the cross and the crucifix.
And his life, death, and resurrection being played out in humanity.
And we make a presumption that God isn't going to intervene on his own effort.
Right.
Yes, he wants to use any and all willing people.
Right.
But he's not subject to not doing something major on his own initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of those initiatives will be giving people the last chance to choose Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it will be a sign in that maybe people are receiving many signs. Like, even in our history, Constantine received a vision of the cross, and the Lord said to him, "And this sign is your victory." And he raised the banner of the cross up and won many conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though he remained in the school of the learners for a long time, he still was used of God to bring victory to the church by God granting him that word about the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's true in that generation and it's true in our generation, then we have to really remember that the cross is the starting point of all the answers and often a return point when we have obstacles that seem to be unbreakable.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, we are going to have someone's testimony, someone who comes from a place of disability and who has the favor from heaven to speak to people and how they are to use this suffering for greater glory for the salvation of mankind as they unite the suffering to the suffering of Jesus on the cross. Because of life, death, and resurrection, I keep saying it all, you know, because of what the Lord's been showing me, it's that mystery of his life, death, and resurrection is happening all the time, continually, within our being, especially when we receive Jesus, of course.
Well,
we have to cooperate with that.
When we make some assumptions, the scripture helps us with this, calls us a temple.
Yeah.
Now, if Jesus is living in this temple called Jeffrey,
right,
then when Jeffrey suffers, Jesus suffers.
Yeah.
And when Jesus has a heart problem and he wants to share
it with
me,
for us because all of him is in us.
And he lets me share such a baptismal amount, small amount of his suffering just so I can identify with him.
And then you can give it to him.
Then my sufferings can become whole.
Right, but you're
more useful for the kingdom.
But your sufferings can equally become his sufferings because he can take it. I believe if the reason why humanity is sick the way it is, because we choose to hold on to our suffering and identify with it, and for maybe to gain pity, or we just don't know enough, or we have not been taught how we can peacefully, submissively surrender it all to the Lord for a specific intention. We can use that in our prayers as a prayer intention. And many times when I've done that, I've gotten healed. It was like, because the Lord wanted me to understand that it's not, the suffering that I'm going through, it's not for me. It's not because he's punishing me, he doesn't love me. It's because he does love me and he wants me to hand it over to him.
And what you just said,
like an intercessory prayer.
And what you just said about that self-blame, that's a very scriptural, bad attitude.
Right.
Because you offend God and then you're called to reflect on it, but you're not called to get stuck on it.
Right, right.
Okay, David in the Psalms, when he was confronted about his evil behavior with Bathsheba,
mm-hmm.
resulted in the chastisement of not receiving a son.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. he repented. It took a lot of pain to break his mm-hmm. denial barriers. And once the prophet broke those barriers by speaking it to him,
yeah,
as God commanded, you know. So we have to be just as open to being mm-hmm. healed.
So, after Jesus' death, he came back to this earth before he took his place at the right hand of the Father to minister to his apostles and disciples. And this is to answer some of the questions that people are having. Like, you know, is his ministry for us today? You know, because this is going to, I really believe today, when you, after you listen to the show, you are going to have a clearer understanding as to why you need Jesus today. And we'll let the Holy Spirit minister to you as this time of fellowship continues on, just in your journey, your faith journey. Jesus taken up to heaven, Acts 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering for our sins, I'll put that in, he showed himself to these men, whom he picked, to begin the transference of the kingdom of God to the earth through the Holy Spirit, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days. And this is the period that we are in. We came from a period of Lent and then Easter, and now we are in the 4 or 5 weeks of Easter, and about day 52. Is it 50? No, day 50. We'll be, along with the Jewish people in the season of Shavuot. S-H-U-V-O-U-T. Shavuot. Yes. The Feast of Pentecost. Anyways, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. All right? He embedded into them the mystery. This is coming directly from Jesus himself. The mystery of the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them the command. All right? This is the command he gave to the apostles. And this is why we are to believe in Christ, whom we don't see, but we can experience his presence in our relationship with him. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Which is another question and concern. The state of Israel is one thing. It's a country of Israel on this earth. But the kingdom of Israel is more of a spiritual reality. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. Okay? That's for certain. This is way back when, up until now. But you will receive power. This is to precede all that fulfillment that we just talked about, restoring the kingdom to Israel. I believe that is in the plan of God. But right now, the church is in this particular, when the church, you know, like we're in a particular time period where we are, the church collectively is walking in. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Dispensation. I was trying to talk. It was dispensation. This particular dispensation of grace that we are in. Okay. Again, it says, Jesus said to them, I'm reading the red letters now, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. That's all we need to do. And it continues. That mission continues up until now. So after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid from their sight. And I believe that's the cloud of witnesses. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee. And I believe these are angels, all right? They said, "Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So he's going to come back with a cloud of witnesses. And some of you say it's going to be the Mount of Olives. It's going to be somewhere in Jerusalem where maybe, you know, we'll see him spiritually, you know. And that's why it's so important to really develop an intimate relationship with the Lord in the Holy Ghost. Okay, so that is that for Acts 1, all right?
I wanted to...
But in the fellowship of his suffering, see, Jesus suffered perfectly so we can suffer the same way. He gave us a remedy. He gave us a blueprint of how we are to suffer in him.
When I think about that time in 2009, right before I got the diagnosis, there was a lot of suffering in my body, mind, and spirit. And then through intercessory prayer of you, God moved in me.
Amen.
And that's a very important key.
Prayer is the connection.
And you just have, you know, she'd been telling me things for years, and I just said,
you just kind of rolled it off. Yeah.
I said, I'll deal with it when it shows up.
Basically, in a nice way, just told me to be quiet and, you know, just don't worry about it. Don't ruminate. And don't just be a clanging cymbal.
But then the answers to her, my wife's prayers came to her by God's Holy Spirit moving in me. And that's another story. I'm not going into any more detail. That's a point I wanted to make.
Well, I always feel that, like even with me, in my early days, my earlier walk in the beginning days with the Lord, people who had extreme prophetic giftings would tell me things about what the Lord has for me. And I part of me wanted to believe them, but the other part, you know, especially when some of it was like, okay, God, you're going to do a really tremendous work in order for this to happen, and I don't want to let you down. But then it would be like, you know, if I was in the middle of a transition period and, you know, part of my life got exposed to the many in that room, I was like, oh my gosh, they know now, they know about my life. That whole thing. So I had asked the Lord, "Lord, show me directly what it is that you wanted to tell me," and just use everybody else for confirmation. But, you know, he will get our attention, and he does yearn to talk to his people. But, you know, it's through the intimate unions, through anything else. Like, my husband and I were horrified this past Friday. It was on the Dan Ray program. Dan Ray gives some good shows. He's considered, I'm going to say, one of the voices of Boston, because we are too, but we're not on WBZ. He's a voice of Boston. He's a very big voice, but nevertheless, people do hear him all over the world. I think the
country, even at some points across
across the pond, because he has the they have that frequency. So anyways, but internet has its own frequency. But this is not to compare and contrast, but here, you know, because I love listening to him. But when it comes to spiritual things, it's like, you know, when you don't get it from the Holy Spirit, and you have this, you know, other spiritual voices that are not necessarily the Holy Spirit on, it can really could cause confusion and add to the chaos, chaotic thinking.
What we were listening to?
This person apparently, I'm not going to mention his name, was a self-proclaimed psychic, and he was saying that he tunes in to others and
you know, these spirit guides. And we already know, you know, if you're prophetic and Holy Ghost, you already know it's not the Holy Ghost. So it's something from the, the second heavens or demonic realm. It's not holy angels. They're spirit guides. And the Lord wanted to show me something to my ears. And I thought, when I was waiting for my husband to come out from work, am I hearing something? Oh, my gosh. And I actually heard the familiar spirit talking to the ear of this person. It was in this person's voice, but it was like whispering like secrets. And I'm thinking, you know what? It was like almost like a repeat, but it didn't start out to be like that, but it ended up being like that. And I'm like, you know what? If this is from the Lord, if the Lord's using this as a teaching tool, teach me what's actually happening, what the realm is that he's functioning out of. I can warn a lot of people about this. And my husband will also hear it too. If this is something that the Lord wants us to talk about, right?
How she tested the spirit.
Yeah, I said, Jeff, and then listen to this guy. I said, don't listen to what he's saying. Don't take it in like it's truth. I said, just listen to see how he gets his information, and so what was yours?
Well, as we're listening to him and he starts talking, two consecutive times with a few seconds in between, I hear a whispering voice.
And I didn't even say whisper. I didn't even tell Jeff at the time whispering. I'm like, are you hearing what I'm hearing? And you know, he described it as the whispering voice.
There was something behind the person.
Yeah.
And definitely intangible to everybody, even to Dan. Because Dan would raise a question if he perceived any of this.
Well, Dan was, did mention something about he was changing before him. So apparently, you know, that's another clue. You know, somebody's actual facial expressions changing. It's definitely may not be of the Lord, you know, especially if...
When someone has those experiences, it's not necessarily...
And it almost sounds like gossipy, too, like gossiping about the other people that are around this person. It's just so soulish.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, but he may, like John Paul Jackson said, he may have a real gift in, but it's being perverted right now by the...
Evil spirits,
yeah. So we started praying for the man as soon as we heard what he was doing. So that was our teaching. That was our lesson from the Holy Ghost on that Friday. So, you know, it's because it's all about the spiritual warfare. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of this world of darkness. And before I read... You know, because we're talking about this, I'm going to go to Ephesians 6 to confirm what I just said to you scripturally, okay? And this is all about the armor of God, too. Okay.
Where are we starting?
I don't know. I think I like to start... Okay. All right, Leah, let's start with the armor of God. The armor of God, Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, all right, so you can protect yourself, right? So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You know, people say that, oh, again, they're from the heavens, but there are three heavens, first, second, and third. The first is the heavens that, you know, we can see in the sky, on the earthly realm, through the sky and space. Second is, you know, the unseen realm where a lot of the spiritual warfare is being waged between good and evil. All right, and a lot of that, the mind is where the battle takes place, too. So there's a collective mind where all these nations, you know, leaders are a part of, and then, you know, creating, and through the, and now media, certain parts of the media, creating media biases and a mindset and groupthink. And that, when that
goes towards the evil realm, society would be evil. But, you know, then, but if people grab hold of the things of the Lord and Christ and receive Him as Lord and Savior and let the Holy Spirit work, you know, and heal their minds, body, soul, spirit, will, and emotion, you know, humanity could be going into a glorious future and destiny. And we talk about more about that with Costa Bazarov. Anyways, against the rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, all right, the remedy is, once you understand this, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes to you, all right, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, like forgive. Forgiveness is part of that. You know, forgive those who persecute you and say all evil things about you. I'm going through that right now on every level. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes in the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, what I'm reading right now. And pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Shikata mashandara kundia. You have hands laid on you for that gifting, you know, once you receive the Holy Spirit. All right, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all saints everywhere, okay? And pray for each other, too. Wow, it's just so many wonderful things. We just want to prepare you with these scriptures so you can come into, you know, the rest of the show So good spiritual insight, so you can understand what's going on. You can see in a better way, you know, spiritually what's happening, you know. Because we can make all kinds of inferences. When we see things in the news, we can think and we can, you know, think like everyone else and, you know, and just react in a negative way, or we can react in a positive way by praying. And we need to read the scriptures so we know how to pray and what we ought to pray. All right? Let's go to Ephesians. Philippians 4:4-8. Okay, Philippians 4:4-8. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. This isn't your suffering, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. All right, we talked about standing your ground and having done everything, prayer and pray, you know, but with prayer of thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. This is going to be another show. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, this is for the renewal of the mind. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely in the Holy Ghost, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, all right, in believers who emanate the presence of God, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. All right? So I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at least you have renewed your concern. So this Paul talks about that with the rest of the disciples. But you get the drift. You know, it's really all about how, what we do in our suffering. And, you know, we can betray each other, or we can help one another out in our prayers, that God will touch humanity in our sufferings. Instead of cursing at darkness, we in a strange way embrace it and bring it to the Jesus and give Him the yoke. All right, the yoke of our slavery, no matter what it is, because He's the one that can take it. He says He exchanges it for His burden of light. You know, His burden, He says, I will take your yoke for His, and He says, take His yoke, because His yoke is easy and His burden
is light, okay, for the light of man. So we, in that human-God exchange, we can give our sufferings to the Lord, and in exchange, he gives us his yoke, which is a much lighter weight to carry, but it's at the expense that we trade in our sufferings for that, and for the, what? Salvation of mankind, okay? But it's an intention that we have to understand how to work in that. It's not a manipulation, but it's, you know, what is our responsibility in this? So right now, before we go into the rest of this broadcast, I just want to flip over to 1 Peter 4:12-19. And as I was talking, I was looking for that. And I just came across it. It's right around James, okay? All right, so living for God. Suffering being a Christian. All right, that's going to be 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. And I'm going to say, when his glory is revealed in the cross that you are carrying at the time. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name, for it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So that means everything that's happened at that time, you know, commit it all to the Lord, and the Lord will do good if you're faithful to him. Okay? Wow, that's powerful. I just got a really, really, really download, a huge Holy Spirit download. we're going to do it like this, in this order. We're going to go into John's talk, of the ministry of suffering, the interview with Costa Basarov, who talks about what the Ukrainian people suffered and what's really being played out in this time. Okay, but there was a couple of dreams that I had, dream visions. I'm just going to run through them quickly because, in our times of suffering as a nation, as a group of people, and, you know, as Christians in general, God is still working. He's still on the throne. And it was after 2014, after the revelation he gave me of what's shaping up for the body of Christ and for the world, 2014. And I don't have all the answers. God does. And I'm only, only gave you what he showed me. Other people, he's given other people other pieces of the tapestry. My mother's name is Lorraine, and the Lord brought her into my dream. Of course, I took notice because I'm like wondering, where am I? Am I in heaven, or am I at this place where it's between heaven and earth? And she had a message for me. I recognized her as my mother on earth, and I asked her, well, what is her name, and what are you doing here? She goes, my name is Lorraine Vinatieri. Now, in the natural, my mother's name was Lorraine Perry. And I thought, either this is a lying spirit, or she's telling me the truth. She said she was waiting for her spouse. She was going to get married. I'm like, gee, they're not, when you're in heaven, you are neither given in marriage or married, because you're all married to the Lord. That's when I thought, she's waiting for the Lord to take her hand. And then Vinatieri, I'm like, but what does that mean? So
I woke up and I thought, Lord, this is definitely, you're using my mother to minister to me about something that you are doing, but, you know, maybe it's a word play on her name. And lo and behold, it was. Okay, so he asked me to write out the name in Venetary. That's Latin, right? Vene and Terry. So lo means it, all right? And the. And Lorraine, the reign, the kingdom, the reign of the kingdom. And I was getting more excited as the Lord was showing this to me. The reign of the kingdom on the earth is, you know, we're entering to that season where that's his reign, his kingdom reign is going to rule throughout the earth. And I thought, whoa, that's why these nations are up in a roar. And that's what, you know, you'll hear what God has shown constant. He's Jewish. And as far as I'm concerned, he's a Jewish seer. It's just really wonderful what is happening. And then the other dream, the dream vision regarding, oh, yeah, Jesus came to me in a form. This is right on Easter Sunday. Came to me in a form of a disabled person. I was doing my everyday duties, bus driving as usual, and I noticed that I was like, the route that I remember the most, you know, like when you drive these buses, you kind of remember things like the back of your hand after a while if you're doing this, you know, the same route for a long time. But something happened where I wasn't remembering the route, and the school changed right before my eyes. You know, you're in a dream, you know, you're not even going anywhere. This is what's happening before you. We have no control over the scene that's changing, right? And so then I thought, well, you know, let me just, if I'm early for the kids, I thought I was picking up, then I'll just go, go and use the restroom and come back and go on a bus and continue the journey, right? And but I noticed that as I was in this building, I was, you know, I left my pocketbook in another room. And that kind of delayed me further. And I knew that the bus was about ready to leave. And, oh, I got to get going. I got to get back to that bus. But in the meantime, I hear this voice say, when I entered into this particular room, or the room came around me, said, as I was looking for my pocketbook, as I thought I left my pocketbook there, wherever there was, I'm glad you're here. I love watching you. I'm smiling over you. I love your smile, and you're always in my heart. He just kept saying this over and over again. And I turned around, and it was someone in a wheelchair. But then he took me by the hand as I was leaving, and I thanked him. And as I was thanking him, something familiar was happening. Like I knew this person by their heart. And then he grabbed me by the hand. And he said it again. You know, I love watching you. You make me smile. I love your smile. I smile over you. And you're always in my heart. And he kept saying that over again. And his hand was so strong. And it thought occurred to me after we broke grip, that was the Lord. And then the concern was, oh, I gotta get on that bus. And then I saw the bus is leaving. As I saw the bus is leaving, I'm like, oh my God, I missed the bus. And then he said the same thing as I was, you know, full of the anxiety. And as he was saying that again, my countenance, I just got peace. Peace started coming into me, and I realized, okay. Well, all right, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I realized he was the Lord. And, you know, I guess I just have to be content with just waiting for the next bus, you know, whenever that was going to come. I didn't even care at that point because I realized I was in the presence of the Lord. And that was all right by me. You know, I could just wait and abide in his presence, and that's where he wants all of us to be. And then he was showing me, I asked the Lord in my awakening time, Lord, why did you use somebody I'm always asking to the wise, because I love when he comes to my dream and then to some mysteries that are left unanswered. And I ask him, why don't you come in the form of a special needs person in a wheelchair? He goes, because his spirit's about ready to be poured upon this particular population that everybody seems to shun or ignore. And it's going to cause many people to come to him. And it's for the release of the kingdom. And I was like, wow, that is so deep, you know? And I work with the special needs population. I drive them. I've been driving them since 1994. I'm also raising someone who's autistic. He's 22 now. So he's given me that love for this special group of people and in a heart for intercession, too. They also, God's use them to pray for me and to bring me to the place that I'm at right now. And their prayers are very powerful. So because they rest in his presence, they are resting under the shadow of his wings, as it says in Psalm 91. I'm not going to read Psalm 91, but I really feel like there are some people out there that need to read Psalm 91 to understand how, he calls us to rest under the shadow of his wing. John is a person that you'll be hearing from time to time. He's, like I said earlier, he has cerebral palsy. He's in a wheelchair. And there might be some other afflictions, but I'm telling you, his heart is so close to the Lord. And I bumped into him on several occasions in my journey as a bus driver. I didn't drive him, but it was where I was driving my students. And it was a common place. And every time God gave me the privilege to meet up with him through these divine appointments, I was never the same. My life totally changed. And my perspective and perceptions have changed. And the passion has grown. And that's where I'm going to leave you with. So enjoy John's talk on the ministry of suffering. We gave you a lot of scripture to chew on. And then we're going to go into Costa's interview too. Okay. All right. One more dream. I have to say it. Okay. Last night I had a dream. And this is for the people who fear change and, are getting into what's going on here, the atmosphere, and, the man's sinning. And, yeah, there's always been sin, right? But Jesus came for that. And here's a scoop. We just need to understand how much he loves us. Like it says at the beginning of the show, in the song, all of me loves all of you. All of Jesus loves all of you, and He's not gonna stop loving us as humankind, because He has a plan for us. And America is right in the middle of this plan of redemption, and that's all we need to know. I saw these angels come forth from heaven, and it looked like it was some kind of spaceship, but it was like a flat, square panel. It looked like a solar panel coming from heaven. And I'm like, what was that? And it came. All I know is traveling the highway. I was in a town called Waltham. Now, Waltham is a play on words. Okay, it's not an actual place. It is a place in the natural, but in a dream, it wasn't a place. It was a play on words. And it was nice and sunny, so I knew it was something good. And so it landed, and as it was landing, it was taking another form. It was a building and something, and these people or beings came out of it with some kind of suit on, and they had this something in their hands that was cleaning the atmosphere. But it was cleaning out the atmosphere. It was like there was a magnetic force that was coming with it. But all I knew is that because we were around it, me and not some other people, it was taking something out of us. And
And then we were, and then it's altering the air and atmosphere, and we were breathing in something out, okay, that was clearing out all the toxins in us. And so, like, and we were still alive, and then we went back to our cars, you know, and we continued to do what we were doing. And I thought, well, we might as well put WBZ on because we want to find out what was going on. But it was news that was not reaching WBZ. And so I believe it was an angel said to me, this news will not reach WBZ. I'm like, why not? Of course, because it was from heaven. So, you know, God loves us so much. He will send his angels, his emissaries from heaven to clean up some this atmosphere and environment, because a lot of people are getting sick because this environment is not only physically dirty, it's spiritually dirty. And he's doing a lot of things because of the prayers of his saints on earth and above the earth, that for such a time as this, because we are going to need this. And we're in a phase. We're in the cleanup phase. He's cleaning up man's. He's cleaning up the heart of man and the spirit of man, and so that we can make the decisions and do what we're supposed to do and be obedient to the call that he's given us. Okay, without much further ado, enjoy the rest of the show. I know it's been a good hour, and I think we covered it all for now, and we will talk more about Noah and Heaven's Real in the next Faith Talk by Prayer and Blog Talk Radio. Okay, love you. Bye-bye.
And how and after I read the message, I'm going to speak to you about how we can live as Christians in such a godless society, and how we need to take a backdrop and not focus so much on the future, but to focus on our interior life and what we need to do to surrender to the Lord. This is a message from the Blessed Mother. My child, the hardships which you are enduring is for the conversion of sin. I have a very serious message for you this afternoon. Many souls are not prepared for the illumination of conscience. Every soul will see where they will end up in eternity due to their work and their service to God. So many do not visit the sacrament of reconciliation. Sin has become normal for many souls. They do not feel the pain which it causes the eternal fire. But when this morning comes, when the illumination of conscience does occur, every soul will feel the pain of each sin they have committed towards God. The souls which have mocked the church and have rejected God completely, they will suffer great pain. Many of them who have rejected God will die of fright because they will not be able to look upon the Lord. That is why I ask for you to tell my lost flock to go to confession before the morning comes and try to remain in a state of grace. After the morning occurs, there will only be a minority of people that will amend their lives and repent. If the Lord sees that only a minority has repented, the Lord will have to purify the earth with fire, and the world will be covered in darkness. I asked Mary, why would the people repent? She responded, because the world has entered into a materialistic age. Materialism has become the golden calf of today. And also many of my children have come to think that they are God. And society has accepted everything that is against God. Many children love their sin more than they love the Lord. But to prevent this great chastisement from taking place, I ask that you far from all the suffering which you endured, so that people will accept this sign of mercy that the Lord has sent to the world. Now, this message may sound scary, but it is a warning of mercy that the Lord has sent. It is so everybody can see their errors and also what we need to work on to become better people. It is not a chastisement. It is so we can become closer to God. So God can mold us in our weaknesses and make us stronger. Being a Christian, because I've been through this, it's very difficult. It's not easy. It's a very narrow road. And the Lord suffered on the cross. And sometimes when we feel abandoned and in darkness, that there's no hope, instead of saying, it is from Satan the suffering that comes, it is from God, because Jesus also felt abandoned by his Father. He said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? It's okay to get upset with God and to get frustrated, because the Lord Jesus felt the same way. Sometimes we would rather take the easy road and just forget about suffering. There's so many people that want to take the easy road and do what society does. But where does that lead you? It leads you nowhere. It offends God, but what offends him more is it's putting your soul in jeopardy. And when you take up the cross, you will lose friends. You will lose things that you have held dear in your heart. But if you lose friends for the sake of Christ, know that it is because the light which Christ is shining through you, the world does not understand. The world does not understand it because they're not at the spiritual realm. They do not want to understand Christ, because we are now in a materialistic age which destroys our souls. Sex is all around. The internet is Satan's tool to lose many souls. Amen. And there's a lot of people that end up getting addicted to these things and lose their souls. So when you suffer for the cross, even though it may be painful, and you lose friends, it is a purification so that we may get closer to God. The suffering of sin is far more greater because you are suffering. If you suffer for your sin, you're losing your soul. But if you suffer for Christ, you are suffering for the greater good. And the Lord can use your suffering if you offer it up to prevent these calamities and wars. So when, here's what I would like you to do. I want you to ask God, say, Lord, I surrender myself. Instead of asking the Lord, give me peace, give me consolation. Sometimes we always ask the Lord to do things for us. But we need to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? I surrender myself. Please give me all this suffering. Because it is only through suffering. If more people offered up their suffering, the world would be a better place. If Nobody offered up their suffering. The world will be in pieces. It is by offering up our suffering that the Lord holds back his punishments upon the world. But fewer and fewer are doing it. But I know that everybody here is the remnant faithful. The remnant faithful that the Lord has gathered under his bosom. So, when you experience abandonment and feeling like God is not there, know that when you call out to God, that you are praying and that the Lord hears your cry. Thank you.
Okay. Ooh. All right. Okay, so are you going to give permission for...
Yes, I give my permission.
Okay. And so this is, we have Koster
Bazarov,
and he's here to give permission to do an interview, and that part will be edited when we do our final edit. And so I'm now going to just give a formal introduction. Okay, everyone. One, two, three. Hello, everyone. Good day. This is Dr. Shirley here on Faith Talks Live Prayer and Blog Talk Radio, and we are actually in the season, the week of Easter, and hope all of you had a wonderful Easter break for some of you, vacation with your kids, and you know that the love of God was poured out upon you and your family in all that you do. All right, so we have with us a special guest from the Ukraine, and he is like a colleague student of mine, a friend that I met, and both me and my husband met, Dr. Jeffrey Caniff met at NISA, New England School of Acupuncture. That's my other life. I'm studying Oriental Medicine, and for some of you who know that I'm coming from a pastoral background, I'm also coming from a health, you know, an emphasis with alternative healthy living as well, because I think they both go hand in hand. But if you haven't read in the news or listened on the radio or watched on the news, there's been an unfolding conflict happening in Ukraine. And we got a chance while we were here in between classes to talk to Koster on some of what that is, because you know he's his national roots are the Ukraine.
I was born in Ukraine in 1971.
And are you? What is your faith background? Because we cover all faith.
I was born. In, my parents are Jewish.
Yeah.
Both mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much my background as far as faith.
Okay.
Although at the time when I was born, all religion were discouraged, and myself as well as my parents, I grew up outside of any conscious religious choice, which is good and not good at the same time. Like you can make your own choices when you're adult and when it's time. So it was like I was born in 1971, and Soviet Union dissolved in 1991, so I was 20 when the Soviet Union dissolved.
So the Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union in 1971, and then it broke away. Okay.
It was a part of the Soviet Union for quite a number of years by then.
Okay.
By that time.
Yeah. So when it changed, you know, when things changed in 1991, how did it affect you as an individual?
It affected me in a very interesting way. When things began to unfold, it was It was all of a sudden ideological emptiness, because the what we were taught is right and righteous.
Based on man's principles of righteousness.
As like you see, like the Soviet Union ideology was, and I was talking to Jeff just about that. It was hypocritical in many ways.
Okay.
In a sense, the communist myth was very like the kingdom of God on earth.
Right.
In
okay.
a sense. The reality obviously was different. yet, we were brought up thinking that we are the force for good. And that like United States, West, and all that are like out there to get us because they are hypocritical, corrupt, and all that. And this is the reverse. We are observing the rebirth of that myth in Russian Federation today.
Wow. So I'm
in a slightly different form.
Yeah, because I'm confused now. The when Russia became a democracy, did they really become a democracy, or is it a pseudo democracy?
It is very difficult to become a democracy in Russia. The country has been built and assembled under very strong security apparatus. Traditional structure of entity, whether it is Russian Federation, Russian Empire, or Soviet Union, is the not so strong economy, but the very strong security apparatus.
Okay. They've always had that.
Yes, that's the only way to survive, to have the security apparatus to suppress the nationalistic tendencies of the conquered peoples.
Yeah.
And there's huge amount of all kinds of smaller or bigger entities, like nations, that are within Russian Federation today, Soviet Union then, Russian Empire even earlier than that.
So what is it considered now, between the, as it relates to the Ukrainian-Russian conflict and that other country?
Has many dimensions.
Yeah.
It has many dimensions. There is a saying like by Zbigniew, well-known Zbigniew Brzezinski, that with Ukraine, Russia is empire. Without Ukraine, Russia is not an empire. And they want their empire back.
Okay.
That means they want Ukraine, and they want Ukraine at least to be economically integrated and dependent on Russia, and not to have independent foreign policy.
Now, what is the difference between the economy of Ukraine and the economy of Russia? And why do you think they need Ukraine as like a feather in their cap, so to speak?
Again, there could be a number of reasons. There is a general trade on the level of like agricultural goods exchange. But then there is a strategic issues. The Russian nuclear arsenal, the stationary ballistic missiles, were built in Ukraine.
Oh.
They are constructed and serviced as of right now by a company in Dnipropetrovsk, which is in Dnipro. And these ballistic missiles are expiring.
Yeah, okay.
They need to be replaced. Russia doesn't have the technology. That's one.
Okay.
That's one reason. The guidance to many space project and as well as military missile related project was made in another Ukrainian city, Kharkov.
Okay.
And that's two. And there are many others. Russia will need to replace the technology and in the situation where it is under Western sanctions, it's going to be ever more difficult.
Right. So it seems like all the scientists and all the engineers.
Not all.
Most are from Ukraine?
Not really. That,
yeah,
wouldn't,
okay,
that wouldn't be the correct thing to
say.
Like, the Russia has a very powerful base. They have their own scientists. They have their own engineers. But somehow, the way the Soviet Union science was designed, and we simply carry on that design structure and flows, like certain intellectual centers that were working on certain issues were located in Ukraine.
Okay, okay.
And they were thriving on resources of Ukrainian population.
Oh,
Ukrainian
okay.
and Russian population, because there are like plenty of Russians, Russian nationals. Russian ethnical Russians in Ukraine, and that's why why there is an issue.
Yeah.
Like and also Ukraine east of Ukraine had been exposed to Russian media.
Okay.
All of this time, and what started recently, and I noticed it. Somewhere like in 2008 or 2009, there was a great change of tone. The tone became different. And I started seeing more and more revenge type of thinking in in the networks, in the internet, in media, and all of that. So what we see in today didn't start yesterday. It started at least 5 or maybe 7 years ago.
Yeah. So it was escalating, and there was a growing pressure within, you know, between Russia and Ukraine, and my question about that is the nature of that stems from the nature of the conflict. Where was the origins of that? You know, like with the people groups.
You know, when you touch the old world,
yeah,
you get very old roots of almost all conflict.
Oh, okay, okay.
There was original Slavic state was called Kievan Rus.
Okay.
And it was founded in Kiev. And Moscow was built by one of the princes way after the principality, great principality of Kiev was founded. Later, when Mongols came, Mongol-Tatar horde came.
Okay.
I'll refer it to as horde from this point on.
Yep.
So when the horde came...
Is that H-O-R-D or...?
Yes.
Okay.
Horde, that's their official. This is where you get this word, actually.
Well, and when anywhere you study in European history, you'll hear about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when the Horde came, the Principality of Moscow became ally of the Horde.
Okay.
And the most of the principalities tried to fight them off. Initially, they were defeated. They regrouped. They continued to fight them off, and the Principality of Kiev never succumbed. And although Kiev stopped being the capital because it was too close to borders at that point, the Galich Volyn Principality stayed. And the Moscow Principality of Moscow became basically the carrier of the user and carrier of the Horde ways, Horde ideology, Horde tyranny, and with that went the alliance of authority and Russian Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
and Russian and the Orthodox Church is under the ruler, traditionally obeying this, the ruler of the country, unlike the Vatican Catholic.
Right. Catholics, Rome.
Church obeys Vatican, right?
Yes, true.
Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
And so you somehow get a very strange mix of Byzantium ways and the Horde ways.
Okay.
It proved to be a very capable mix in terms of survival, in terms of conquering and making its way among other nations. Not all the nations like how they conduct their business.
Right.
Not all the nations like the environment that this type of philosophy and understanding create.
Mm-hmm.
It was then, and you see it in a certain after a certain evolution now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there was a hundreds of years of somewhat enlightened Russian monarchy rule.
Yeah.
Somewhat enlightened because many aspects of history were turned from head to toe.
Okay.
You would actually never see until the Peter the Great, Peter the Great, you would never see Russia addressed as Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You see it addressed as Moscovia.
Okay. So is it Russia, before the Tsars, as C-Z-A-R, Tsars?
It wasn't before. It was during. Peter the Great became first emperor.
Okay. Mm.
And before that, the rulers of Moscovia were Tsars. And basically the Russia, or Rus, was the name of what's called Belarus.
Okay, Belarus.
Part of Ukraine,
okay,
that is like on to the west from Dnieper.
Okay, all right.
And that's basically what Rus was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the historians of Russian emperor, Tsars and emperors, they rewrote history.
Okay.
To acquire the roots that are more acceptable to Europe and more acceptable to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not Horde anymore.
Right, right.
We are actually like, we grow from the Principality of Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
It's true to an extent,
mm-hmm,
but the ways of the empire were actually the ways of Horde, or the ways of Byzantium in more ways than ways of Kiev.
So during that time period, was Russia then, was that a more of a communist
no,
country?
No, that time we're talking about is from probably 13th, 14th century basically 19th century.
Okay.
Then comes 20th century, and the Russian monarchy, imperial monarchy, was overthrown.
Mm-hmm.
And the Russian Empire only became more effective.
Mm-hmm.
With communists at the rule, it became more effective tool of suppression of freedom.
Okay.
And as you well know, communists excelled at
mm-hmm.
that. And with that, like the Russian people themselves are oppressed.
Right.
It's really what we are talking about is not is not nation related.
Mm-hmm.
It is related to how you think yourself
as an individual.
As an individual,
mm-hmm,
as an individual and community, as an individual and world, as an individual and the universal force above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
All these things.
Mm-hmm.
And when truth is sacrificed,
mm-hmm.
the connection with the universal force is is sacrificed automatically.
Mm-hmm. And some people call it the universal force God.
Exactly.
Right, right. Yeah.
I agree. There have been many traditions that have been looking for how to address something that is totally beyond our understanding.
Exactly.
And what we are using is a word.
Mm-hmm.
The entity that we are referring using this word is absolutely beyond our comprehension.
Right.
You cannot comprehend the whole being part of the whole.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Only through revelation, you know.
Only in revelation, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. Only in experience.
Yeah.
Only in direct connection when mind is silent.
Exactly. And that's where I think where people groups are in danger by something that's like an aristocrat society, where there's that one monarch or figure that wants to rule at the expense of individual freedom of expression of worship or just expression of who they are in life relating to destiny. And so, you know, you're right when you say it's an individual oppression, and then it becomes a collective oppression, you know. You want to talk a little bit more about the psychological, sociological aspect and the impact that it has on families that make up society?
The mindset that is that is unfolding almost as we speak today has its great benefits to the rulers of Russian Federation because it gives people the enemy.
Right.
It's an easy escape to give external enemy.
Yeah.
To unite against.
Mm-hmm.
It can work for some period of time because you cannot maintain the hatred.
Right. So when you say that it gives
anyone for a long period of time, you're going to get burned out.
Exactly. So when you say that it gives the people an enemy, who's the enemy?
The collective West.
Okay.
And what they see going on in Ukraine is the great incursion in there in the region they rightfully control.
Yeah, right.
They have rights to control Ukraine, so they think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's they do not perceive Ukraine as a nation that has right to go wherever it wants to go.
Okay, so in that respect, Russia perceives the United States as an enemy, and is the Ukraine like more like a political pawn, or what is?
And perceiving Ukraine as a political toy of United States.
Okay.
And that collective West.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the kind of mentality that has been revved up by the media of Russian Federation.
Yeah.
This is why there is like a notion in social networks that the true weapon of mass destruction is Russian media.
Right.
Media in general and Russian media
is this part of it?
Because it really, by the constant flow of 5% truth and 95% lie, they basically destroying minds of the people.
Yeah.
Of its people, of anyone who listens. Like if I see it before the television set with the Russian news,
mm-hmm.
in 30 minutes they start hating Ukraine.
Right. Yeah.
I am telling you, it's almost that irresistible.
Right.
Because they are very professional in doing what they are doing.
Yeah.
Like you have to give them that much that they are professional. What they use in their professionalism
mm-hmm.
for is the mm-hmm. quite unholy.
Now,
American media can do the same thing,
absolutely.
But it does it with capitalism in mind. Fear mm-hmm. of poor health, fear of violence, fear of
no money,
your personal property.
Yeah.
You know, there's. And they do it for commercialism instead of politicalism. But I can see where it could easily shift.
It's great that you brought it up, because it's actually invoking the fear
mm-hmm.
that allows someone else to rule us.
Mm-hmm.
We should never fear. That's the conclusion.
Right.
The obvious conclusion is that basically one should never fear.
And in Christianity, fear is the opposite of faith.
And love.
And love, yeah.
Absolutely.
Faith and love. You can't say faith without love. You are correct.
There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and like
yeah.
I agree with that. Like I watched the how the campaign to start
mm-hmm.
in war in Iraq
mm-hmm.
was unraveling.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not. It's not like we are all total angels here.
Right.
Not at all.
Yeah.
What I rather see is the there is a collision by players
mm-hmm.
of the same level.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
like the geopolitics, the European Union,
mm-hmm.
United States, resurging Russian Empire,
mm-hmm.
and yet there is something else.
Mm-hmm.
There is something. There is a vertical. There is a perpendicular to that plane line
mm-hmm.
that connected the people of Ukraine to their source.
Yes.
And that was the Ukrainian Revolution. That was what happened in winter.
Mm-hmm.
In the end of the winter,
mm-hmm.
In February, on Maidan.
Mm-hmm.
It was really like something that penetrated the dark layers that were surrounding our planet
yeah.
because
mm-hmm.
it's everywhere.
It is.
It's
a chameleon in different forms.
Yes, it was. It was like the beam of light that was breaking the
mm-hmm.
this crust,
mm-hmm.
the dark crust.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the people when people were when pretty much unarmed people were killed by snipers
mm-hmm.
in Kyiv,
mm-hmm.
and it's like almost like mm-hmm. their death mm-hmm. For the sake of their people.
Okay.
It's like their heroism, made possible this connection to
mm-hmm.
occur.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I see was more like a
mm-hmm.
It has a vertical dimension. The layer where the geopolitics
mm-hmm.
geopolitical adversaries
mm-hmm.
are fighting one another
mm-hmm.
is one thing. But that is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about different way of thinking. It's about getting rid of old fears. It's actually about it was totally about getting rid of fear, stepping
mm-hmm.
beyond fear.
Right.
Stepping beyond fear
yeah.
for the sake of others.
Right.
Because what the people who were
mm-hmm.
Assassinated there were
mm-hmm.
doing while they were assassinated, they were
mm-hmm.
pulling the fire away from the main crowd.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, we...
And they didn't have a chance. And they knew that.
Mm-hmm,
and yet
mm-hmm.
they still went.
They still
like
yeah.
all the, like, military experts mm-hmm. say it was a humongously stupid from military point of view, yet it was in the realm of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It there is nothing more noble than that.
So so this was what happened in the Ukraine, and you mentioned Kiev.
Kiev. It was the capital of Ukraine.
Okay, what happened in Kiev and in the Ukraine was more like a psycho-spiritual.
It was
a
spiritual
flavor.
It was spiritual.
Was it psycho too? Be psychological as well. Freeing people of fear.
How can you separate one from the other?
Exactly, you can't.
It's like the moment you psychologically step beyond fear, you step into light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. You step into the light.
Fear.
Fear relates to punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're stuck in fear, you're always stuck in the fear of being punished over
mm-hmm.
something.
Absolutely.
So you become more easily controllable.
Controllable.
In the situations Shirley and I have been monitoring and actually been a part of,
mm-hmm.
where even in populations of Christians, they become totally fear-based and really ugly.
Mm-hmm. I think wherever there's a human being, we have a tendency to
become fear-based. And that's a risk for everybody. That's
ugly.
Not particular to any group. It's
sure.
The human race issue.
Yeah, I cannot agree more.
Yeah.
Like, fear is when if you succumb to fear, it will do with you whatever.
And what do people fear the most? They fear the new thing. They fear, you know, there's always that revolve and change.
Oh, that's so true.
You know, and as human beings, as we come into our place as, you know, it depends on which generation, but in this generation, coming to the place that God wants us to be, as you know, as humanity, you know, what happens is that there's always that element of society or group of people, country, that fears the change, even if it's for the good. You know, and it depends on what perspective we have and what we are influenced by the thought process behind it. But it just seems that the tendency for man is to always go back. Always go back to what's comfortable. Always go back to what's familiar. And it may not be the best thing for people, the familiar or the comfortable. It may be, you know, and that's the reason why the impetus is to go forward, to go straight ahead in search of something, you know, that can be, you know, propelled by the light of man, the light of God. You know, some of us say the light of God through Christ, you know, but it all comes back to, you know, evolving into something better, you know, going forward, moving forward. But when you want to flee, what are we fleeing? Oppression, right? In fear-based thinking, to something that's, you know, freedom and peace and love and faith, you know, greater faith.
And the security to walk in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Positive.
Yeah, I can't agree more.
Yeah.
I remember reading a book by
mm-hmm.
a Ukrainian,
mm-hmm.
Ukrainian Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he put his Christianity right there at the public service.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in jail many, many times because of it, because
mm-hmm.
communists were just so resistant to his deeply convicted love for the people,
mm-hmm.
his people in his church, his people
mm-hmm.
in his country. And they didn't like how he was being so positively influential.
Mm-hmm.
So he finally eventually migrated with his wife to Canada,
mm-hmm.
came through America, settled in Canada,
mm-hmm.
and published a book about his faith trial.
His
journey.
And
he would be out of jail for 3 days and be like 100% willing 3 days later to go back.
Mm-hmm.
That's
there are some
character.
You cannot stand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some things you cannot stand.
The liberty,
stand,
the
yeah.
religious liberty of the people and teaching
mm-hmm.
of holy things was
mm-hmm.
his paramount mission. Keeping the holy alive. under the negative circumstance.
To do what is right and just and pure and holy is the call, I believe, of the human heart. It's the eventual call of the human heart once we understand who we are and where we're going. Not just as individuals, but as a
community
and society, yeah. Aware democracy.
Yeah, and I think that
conscious democracy.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think communism failed in that, the extreme communism failed in that reality because it took something to try to make it absolute, and where it was to be the people's choice and to live in common in scripture. In the New Testament, in Acts, in the book of Acts, that was the call of the church to live in common, you know, to feed the widows, you know,
mm-hmm.
to clothe the
mm-hmm.
and feed the orphans and things like that. And that's not just a Christian virtue, that's a human virtue.
Yeah, and I think in many ways the rise of communists
mm-hmm.
In the beginning of the 20th century
mm-hmm.
had to do with the great failures of Russian Orthodox Church.
Yeah.
Because the priests were hated in many instances
yeah.
for their...
compromising with this.
For their luxurious lives.
Mm-hmm.
For their placing themselves way above those peasants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like on many instances there was violence mm-hmm. against priests. So when the lid was blown off
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
During the after the Bolshevik uprising,
mm-hmm.
Common people started to get back
mm-hmm.
to their oppressors, and mm-hmm. church was one of them.
Yeah, yeah.
So
because it wasn't doing what it was supposed to be doing.
And again, I see yeah. all these processes actually mm-hmm. in a different light. Mm-hmm. I see it in a different in a number of different ways because like. You get very close, like say there is an analogy, like say you're on a beach, you get very close to the sand,
mm-hmm.
all you see is like bits of sand, you
mm-hmm.
you zoom out, you see more, you zoom out, you see more,
mm-hmm.
you zoom out like 30 feet high, you see even more, you see mm-hmm. the horizon, and the reality that was so obvious when you are
mm-hmm.
looking right at those bits of sand
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
becomes a totally different.
Yeah.
So you actually have to I for myself
mm-hmm.
like, for myself I decided I need to see the situation in the variety of different
perspective
mm-hmm. layers. And one of those layers is actually like the maturing of humanity itself.
Yes, yes.
If you see the humanity as one,
mm-hmm.
as one individual,
mm-hmm.
You see like it's the adolescence,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
all the things related to it. You see its maturity through its 20s and getting
the different life stages
stronger and wiser. Yes,
yes.
And this is in a sense you can the only way to understand the process around us
mm.
is to see it through our own experience.
Yes.
We can't escape this, right?
Right, right.
We understand through the prism of our human experience.
Yeah.
Our experience
through the commonalities. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So many things are like processes in our collective mind.
Mm-hmm.
The choices that our collective mind
mm-hmm.
is working between.
Mm-hmm.
and the end result could be some evolutionary breakthrough.
Yes, yes.
And that is what I'd like to see, because mm-hmm. what we have here mm-hmm. In the West, what they have there in the East,
mm-hmm.
are parts of the it's the duality within mind of humanity.
Yes, yeah.
It's like duality, Western approach, Eastern approach, Western approach, Eastern approach.
Or somewhere
but
in between.
The truth is always in the middle.
Yes.
Yes, yes, the Almighty is sitting in the middle.
Right.
The path to Almighty, the Jacob's ladder.
Right.
Is in the middle.
That's so true. We watched a movie last night. We finally went to see Noah.
Mm.
And
I'm yet to see it.
Yeah, and without giving the plot away, it was very well done. It was very realistic. To take, you know, one of the important eras of humanity where, you know, the Lord, where the evil was so prevalent. You know, because men thought that they had the power to be like God and determine who's going to live and who's going to die, and you know, and just it was the man out for themselves. This is what came across in the movie, and the struggle that Noah had, and the call that he had in his life that God put on him to save not just humanity. Life itself. He had that task, and he was given visions and dreams and revelation. That's according to the director of the film. But that would be like God to do that. That's how he communicates, you know, to our
the
spirit.
Invisible communicating
yeah.
to the invisible Father.
He did that with
mm-hmm.
all the Jewish
mm-hmm.
fathers that
mm-hmm.
have gone before
mm-hmm.
us,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so with that connection, you know, and that intimacy, you know, with our Creator, as a way to move humanity forward, it can be an arduous task. And I think that in this day and age, we as humanity, you know, living on this planet, we have a better place because of social media. We have a better position to make it happen in a shorter period of time.
Yes, can't agree more. We have to.
Yeah.
We really don't
yeah.
have that much, don't
yeah.
that much of a time that that we can
yeah.
use in
to waste.
We really,
yeah.
we really have
yeah.
to get on with that.
Yeah.
Because the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking, and it could go one way. Or the other, you know.
Yep.
But
and
I think
it
can
go
yeah.
for
yeah.
one way for some, and the other way, and
mm-hmm.
the other way for the other.
In one of the capital things that got demonstrated in the movie
mm-hmm.
through one of Noah's sons, is he turned towards himself. Like Noah was always turning towards God, his wife, and he eventually started turning towards himself.
Mm-hmm.
And selfishness came into his equation.
But it was him. There was him.
And
yeah.
It was
yeah.
just a matter. It was. So it was hard for him to think out of the box. And I
mm-hmm.
think, in a general sense, the world population is kind of a good percentile. I won't say everyone, but a good percentile is stuck in that self-thinking.
Yeah.
Even
people. Like, what about, what is in it for me?
Yes, yes.
You
yes,
know?
This is the trap.
Yeah.
That's the trap.
And it's the thing that the me thinking and being stuck on me too long can actually, if you have a whole bunch of people stuck on the me part, It's almost like that's the first step towards total anarchy or annihilation.
Or it can just become its opposition.
Yeah, this yeah.
Right.
Opposition
opposite of me. Like
yeah.
Some place
mm-hmm.
like, we are studying
mm-hmm.
Nessa, right?
Yeah.
The yin and yang.
Right.
One thing, the great amount of
yeah.
the one thing. Turns into its opposite.
Right, right.
And sometimes, like, if you read the
stories of lives of many prominent people, even prominent people of church. They they did go through, and Noah is one of the examples, they did go through the extreme selfishness. Because, like, how can you understand you're wrong unless you vividly demonstrated that you're wrong?
Exactly.
Like, you really have to demonstrate to yourself that...
Oh, yeah. I've come to know that without any sense of the divine, I'd be an absolute corrupt person. Because I've walked through so much stuff coming out of me that if it didn't come out of me, it would still be in me, and it would be infecting me and even more than, you know, but I had to... But the church presented tools to help me to defeat it. And the more I opened to God, the more He just came in, and literally one day He just broke the doors open on the other. Instead of going in, He broke them to bring something out. And it lasted. It was a period of that flow coming outside of my spirit, soul, and mind lasted for 2 hours. But it was in a secure situation that that happened. And when it stopped, peace came back.
Some people call that the dark night of the soul, the anguish of the spirit.
But we know from history, like even Mahatma Gandhi, he was taking on the British Empire to change, to bring deliverance to India from the colonial period, and he had a great understanding, and he was upset with the Christians. He said, I like your Christ, but I don't like you Christians.
Yeah, because we're so far. They were at that point in time. Christianity was so far away from
its
what
ideals.
The Lord really wanted to emphasize. You know, like from the ideal.
Yeah, I think
he taught
pretty simple.
Yeah.
And he taught the different tribal Indian groups how to unite economically and trade-wise and. That was the beginning of a new foundation for their own independence.
Yeah.
But
well, I know that when, you know, in my life, what, you know, it seems like up until now, probably this year, in the last 2 years, all right, that I was experiencing my walk in Christ, in Christianity, the way that everybody else was. I didn't realize it. But you do go with a herd mentality, right? And at the same time, the Lord really wanted me to see humanity more on the same plane as He did, but not say that I'm God, no. But just a little bit of perspective, you know. And He showed me, just like Christ did, you know, Christ, He used to put to embrace. He was, even though he came from the Jewish line. His whole thing was to redeem humanity by His blood, you know. I just had this feeling. He knew what His mission was, but somehow the Lord kept, God kept a veil over Him until the right time, you know. Even half of Christianity is trying to catch up with what He did, because it's like, you know, we weren't there, all the, you know, physically, but we were accepting it by faith. And so we accept much of what life offers through faith, you know. And most of the time we walk by faith with everything and not by sight. There's faith to make everyday decisions, regardless of if a person's Christian or not.
Absolutely.
And regardless if people are leaders or not, but when leaders of nations are entrusted with the ability to make decisions
for the common good,
it should be for the common good of all people. But it not, and this is the problem, right?
That's the thing that has to change.
Yes,
and it has to change in a very fundamental way. The government should not be above the people. The only thing about the people is the only entity above the people is Almighty.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And the government
should not be in a position to impose any vision of what's going on onto the people.
Mm-hmm.
People should see it for themselves.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the government should be at best
mm-hmm.
like to the side of people
mm-hmm.
as a contracted professionals
mm-hmm.
who are hired by community.
Yes.
Like really hired by community.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. They've delegated certain things,
mm-hmm.
like common defense, obviously,
mm-hmm.
Energy policy,
mm-hmm.
Like maybe some of the foreign policy, like things like that.
Yeah.
And I think this is what we are going to see more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Government will be placed where it belongs.
Yeah.
It doesn't belong above.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't belong above the community.
Mm. But how about with the community?
Well, that's not going to happen.
Yes.
With the community.
Yeah.
Yet, like, you may get a, you may get a prime minister for being foreign national.
Yeah.
Because he's a skillful individual
mm-hmm.
and we as a community want him.
Sure.
We want him to run the his sphere of responsibility.
And why not get what you want?
Why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Why not? Why,
mm-hmm.
It's a very different situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different world.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very different mentality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is only possible when with the contemporary social networking.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The structure of the state
mm-hmm.
is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of the state is going to change.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot more for the people
mm-hmm.
than
mm-hmm.
for itself.
Yes.
Because
yes.
what we see, what we have now is
mm-hmm.
that the system
mm-hmm.
is taking care of the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The
right.
state,
that's what
the
I'm
state
saying
is
now.
Taking
mm-hmm.
care of the state,
mm-hmm.
not taking care of the
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
as it was ideally supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
We have to. It's within our
mm-hmm.
within our fearlessness
mm-hmm.
to get it back where it belongs.
We were talking about a couple of weeks ago. I just had a concern about KGB influence. Would you say that the KGB is almost like an extinction of Russia, or is it, are they still there working behind the scenes?
KGB?
Yeah.
KGB is there all the way.
Yes.
You're kidding me? It's called different.
Yeah.
It's the Federal Security Service.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I mean, if...
they do the similar things, but they're called differently.
They...
Mm-hmm.
They don't change, like
mm.
it's the institutional institutional way of seeing, way of living.
That crystallizes a mindset.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Very,
yeah.
Very, very, very
well,
much so.
In America, we have an agency that does
mm-hmm.
has the same thing, and it's just been like publicly uncovered.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI.
What do you mean publicly uncovered?
We have an agency called the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Right.
Yeah.
And
you know
there's some things that they were doing that might not be right.
Uh-huh.
Like
whatever they did 30 or 50 years ago.
Uncovering wrongdoing in the agency itself.
Yeah.
Not the agency.
Yeah.
The agency had a good purpose.
Right.
Exactly.
The ideals of the agency.
Yeah, it's always like that.
Changed.
Who's going to guard the guardian?
Right. Right. Guard the guardian. That's a good one. It's true. It is so true.
Yeah. It's this is the point. It has to be. It has to be. The structures that we employ have to be transparent.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And that's what the people of Ukraine want. They want transparency.
That's what the spirit of Maidan was.
Yeah.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
That was the spirit of that intervention.
Okay, yeah. The one that when he lost his life.
The one not he, but the for some number of people, like the people who were killed by sniper state, there was like close to 100.
Were they killed by the Russian forces, or?
It's not really known whether the snipers were Russians.
Okay.
It doesn't matter, as a matter of fact, who killed them.
Yeah.
Because you by action you know the hand.
Right. Yes.
It was still an illegal action.
Yeah.
No matter how you term it.
No matter how it is, it's like evil to do.
Yeah.
Evil, quite an evil thing to do. Yet the bravery of those people, their heroism, their ability to sacrifice themselves, it really opened like a new corridor for humanity, at least for Ukraine.
Right.
For sure for Ukraine.
Well, I think for anybody watching it, you know, a human being watching this conflict, it does something to your heart. I mean, as an American, I was watching this, and then you made me aware you were from the Ukraine. And I'm like, we have to talk. I mean, because it's been on my heart. Ukraine's been on my heart for months.
It seemed to be not so big, like, because you have Egypt, where there was a great change. You have Syria.
Yes.
Yet somehow what was going on and what is going on in and around Ukraine, somehow it draws attention. Like, it's almost there is something. Something very particular, specific. Something
divine. Something divine.
That's what I'm leading.
You have to. Yeah. Yes. You can relax on this show. You can talk.
It's really like a divine. Feels like a divine intervention. Mm-hmm. Like when you see it with the eyes of your soul.
Yeah.
When I looked at what was going on with the eyes of my soul, I saw
the hand of God.
Humongous power, light, coming down on the capital of Ukraine as the events were unfolding, and I also saw the gray terror that was coming from Russian border, like the pressure of that grayness.
Trying to push over the border.
You have to fear me.
Yes.
And like the ability to stand the ground and not to succumb at the face of the odds, consider the odds.
Mm.
That's how the early Christian church grew, because the saints lost their fear of death, and if it cost them their death, they stood up for the people, they stood up for God in their belief system, and whether it cost them their life, but over time, enough people were martyred and convinced the society around them that, whoa, this is too much, this is too wicked. You know, these just people are being killed for no just reason.
It causes others to awaken.
Yeah.
That's what we see.
Yeah, John Paul Jackson, he's a minister, he goes over there to Ukraine a lot, and all over the world, but he said the greatest thing, you know, you put your fear in something, it will come about. You know, you bring it alive. You know,
you make it happen.
You make it happen. Yeah.
You make it happen one way. Make it happen the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a matter of choice.
Yeah, we're coming to a close, but you know, before we close, I just wanted to ask you about relatives and family over there. Are they still over there, and what have they been affected by this?
Most of my relatives are either here in the States or in Israel. Yet some of my relatives are in Ukraine, in Donetsk, where there is a strong separatist movement in Donetsk region.
Okay.
What my relatives say, however, at this point, it hasn't affected them. They are out of harm's way.
They don't feel the need to flee. Is it because they're Jewish, or is it a Jewish thing going on there?
There was like some funny instance, and I didn't know how to treat it because it could have been provocation. It's like the people in Donetsk region, by the authorities of separatists, were like the Jews of Donetsk region, were required to register.
Okay.
Whether it was like
I heard that, yes.
Or through like jury is still out. Yet there is another instance when separatists came after Romas, Roma people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the signs, like
you do.
You again by action. You
even in this country. Yeah. What we found is when we hear these different things happen in this country, and usually we have things in place that isolate it through media or whatever to temper it. But then in another country, when we hear it, we're like, wow, you know, there's something going on. You know, I believe in Ali. I believe that Jewish people, you know, we're entering into a time, you know, that God's calling many Jewish people back to Israel. And you might allow these things to happen to get everybody up on their feet and to Israel. So you have relatives in Israel. What part?
It is from my father's side.
Yeah.
My father's sister lived in there. She passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But there is her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And her family.
Are they in Haifa?
They're in Haifa, actually.
No, isn't that something? God just ministered to me about Haifa.
Yeah.
I had visited Israel myself.
Yeah, that's a
Haifa.
Very vibrant area.
Yeah. Haifa. Yeah. The time I went there, they were just starting to plant trees, and then obviously
when
there's
was
more.
It?
In 1987.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I visited Tel Aviv, Jerusalem.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like on
Tiberias.
On the approach, on the airplane, the approach in Glissade, you look at the if you approach it from the Mediterranean Sea side, you see you see where the Israel is right away.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
more greener.
With the palm trees, everything. Yeah. You don't want to leave once you're there. But I went on the Feast of Sukkot, you know.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back again and with you, Jeff, and maybe a bunch of people.
A lot of Europe.
Yeah. But Israel.
That was the primary ones on
visit them. Kyiv if you have a chance. Kyiv is absolutely gorgeous.
Wow,
It's like very old. They have so many churches and monasteries in there.
Really?
You know, like all in all, I've been probably criticizing in a way the Russian Orthodox Church. It's not only bad, obviously. There was a place for great spiritual rise as well.
Yes.
And those things should not be forgotten because of mistakes that the institution had made.
Yeah, exactly.
So like they're like you know the tradition of how the churches are constructed in Russia. They're white with the golden semi-dome, slightly sharpened, and they look absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, wow, yeah, definitely.
White to blue.
Yeah. Wow, awesome.
Amazing.
So, how's the weather there? Is it
just pretty much like this?
Yeah.
It's very close.
Yeah.
It's not as fluctuating as
it is. So, do you have a takeaway that you want to leave the listening audience with?
I probably would like you would like to ask the audience to pray for Ukraine to find its divine way.
Yeah. Well, we can do that right now, and then we can, and then we'll close with a prayer.
Certainly.
So, you know, just feel free to jump in. I'll start, and then, you know, Jeff. So, Lord, we just thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing, not only in the nation of Ukraine, but all over the earth, Lord, where the kingdoms of man are going to become the kingdoms of God. You have a divine plan, but you have a specific plan for the Ukraine. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that there is something that the people of Ukraine are holding on, that, you know, has been revealed, Lord, from the heavens. And we are asking, Lord, for your divine enlightenment to come upon the people, the leaders, and Lord, that your will unfold on earth as it is in heaven for the nation of Ukraine, the nation you created for yourself, Ukraine, and that, Lord, the world will know that you are God, and we are not.
Father, I ask that you give all the peoples, no matter what their ethnic backgrounds, mm-hmm. faith backgrounds, even their political associations, Lord, mm-hmm. I ask that you grant all the people, mm-hmm. officials in government, the people on the street, the people in local government, forgiveness of heart,
yes.
that will forgive the wrongs done by each other to each other.
In the past.
That
yeah.
they will come to peace. That they will come to fearlessness.
Mm-hmm.
That they will know that in that peace they can't be manipulated. It's when they get into anger, rage, that they can easily be controlled away from what they truly desire. And Lord, we just ask you to just move among the people, one person at a time, to one faithful person who trust in that peace, who trusts in that forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we know they're there. We know you've been reaching out to them through different people that have come away from that country to tell us about it. And we just thank you for the opportunities, and we ask you to increase the fruitfulness of peace, joy, and love that your church is supposed to impart to each other.
Amen. And we ask that you would just extend, Lord, your hand of blessing upon Costa and his life call, Lord, and in mission, Lord, that you've given him here on this earth, Lord, and here in this school, and, Lord, just with human beings in general, we thank you, Lord. And we ask also for the peace. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because everything starts from the apple of your eye, Israel, whether spiritual or physical Israel. And we thank you, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thank you very much. Thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here.
It's been a great time to sit here and talk with you guys.
Awesome.
Thank
we're going
so
we'll do it again, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Great.
As the situation unfolds.
Amen. All right. Hello. Wasn't the awesome testimonies coming from John and then an account of, you know, what Costa was able to make of a move of the Holy Spirit upon Ukraine. So we constantly have to keep the disabled population who's not disabled in the spirit, but the disabled population on the earth, and what's going on with the Ukraine that can affect the whole world, Ukraine and Russia. But I want to offer up all the suffering and the sufferings that each and every one of you have, that, you know, you can't even mention to too many people, but maybe that one particular pastoral friend that you have. But we have a friend in Jesus, and we're going to offer a communion right now for his Holy Spirit to touch all, you know, your hearts and your situations and circumstances. But before then, anyone who needs to come to the Lord, we want to, first of all, let's do what the Catholic Church calls the act of contrition. It's something that I do every time I go, before I go. And they have a saying that after we pronounce our sins. So anything that God brings to your mind right now, any sin, you know, write it down on a piece of paper, or just, you know, mindfully, bring it to the Lord, okay? And if you have a friend that's in a pastoral ministry or a pastor that you know, bring these issues to the pastor, because they have the authority of the Lord, especially if they're a Catholic priest. I know the Catholic priest does to give absolution, and then they usually so that they know that you made a sincere confession. An act of contrition, okay? And it goes like this, all right? Oh my God, I am heartily sorry for having offended you, and I detest all of my sins because of thy just punishments, but most of all because I offended you, oh my God, who are all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Amen. Okay? And at this point, you know, the priest will say a prayer of absolution over you. And I always feel that it's a completed process. And, you know, and then he'll give us, like, some prayers to say or inspirational readings. And it's to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I think what would be fitting here before we go into communion is to do a profession of faith. And I believe we'll do the short form. There's the Apostles' Creed, and then there's the Nicene Creed, all right? And the Nicene Creed is more of a shorter creed. But that's the creed that everybody says. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Okay? So now we're going to go to the communion part. You know, we've confessed our sins to our pastor or priest, and we receive some kind of blessing or absolution from this. And now we're going to, we've professed our faith, and now we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come, okay, to come into our hearts, to be our comforter and to be our consoler and our counselor, and to guide us into all truth, okay? Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and kindle within me the fire of divine love. Send forth your Holy Spirit, and I shall be recreated, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the gift of this same Holy Spirit, that I may be truly wise, and forever rejoice in your consolation. And I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, so that's how I do it, because I like these prayers. I like to pray in this order, because in the heart of the Lord, because it brings me to that place of where I can, his presence starts to increase within me and envelop my entire being. Okay, so I'm sure in your personal walk with the Lord, as you're being led, the Holy Spirit would do likewise. And in the end, Jesus wins the bride. He gets us all, right? Okay, so we're going to go into the communion now. And for some of you who are not around the Eucharist right now, but you spiritually can be there, this will be more of a spiritual communion, okay? So we've already asked the Lord to come into our hearts, to send us the Holy Spirit. For those who needed to make the Lord their Savior, you know, asking the Lord to come into their hearts, okay, like it says in Romans. So we just thank you, Jesus, that on the night that you were betrayed, you took bread and you broke it. You gave it to your disciples and you said, take this and eat. You eat of me, all of you. Take this and eat, for this is my body, which was broken for you. Whenever you do this in my memory. It's been broken for the salvation of the world.
for deliverance of evil spirits, for healing of wounded hearts and souls. Do this in memory of me. And likewise, Jesus took the cup of blood, I should say the cup of wine, and he lifted it up to give thanks to the Father, and he said, take this cup, for this is my blood, which will be shed for you for the salvation of the world. When you drink this cup, you drink unto redemption, until I come again in glory. For as often as you drink of this, eat of my body and drink of this cup, you will claim my death until I come in glory. Do this in memory of me. The body of Christ, Jeff, and the body of Jesus. Amen. Just a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. We're sharing the same cup. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has died for us and is risen from the dead. He is our saving Lord. He has died for all ages. Joy. Keep in mind that Jesus Christ has died for us and is risen from the dead. He is our saving Lord. He is joy for all ages. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. God bless you. We love you.